Go, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10, revolves about the figure of speech of a shepherd. And the emphasis is on Christ as a good shepherd. We will find that in the New Testament, when Christ is referred to as the shepherd, the word shepherd is modified by three separate adjectives. He is the good shepherd, he is the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. And we'll look at each one of those in the course of our study. But in chapter 10, the emphasis is on Christ as the good shepherd, and this is all presented as a parable. So we begin then, John 10, 1 through 6, the presentation of the shepherd parable. John 10, 1 through 6, presentation of the Good Shepherd narrative. And let's simply read through chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, because it is one single connected paragraph. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things which he had been saying to them. All right, we begin with the presentation of 10, 1 through 6. And the first thing to note, and it's very important, is that the discourse of chapter 10 is closely linked to chapter 9. And so our key words to begin with and to establish is the fact that the words of chapter 10 are closely linked to the event of chapter 9, which is the healing of the man that was born blind. If you look at the closing words of chapter 9 and verse 41, and let's go back really as far as verse 40, and read through, there is no apparent break between the chapters. So that if we did not have in our Bibles chapter 10 indicated, there would be really no way to know that we had a new chapter, or what we call a new chapter. Verse 40 says, those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things, said to him, we are not blind too, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have had no sin. But since you say, we see, your sin remains. Truly, truly, I say to you. And notice it's a perfectly natural flow between the two chapters. So the first thing to note is that there is no apparent break. The reading between 9 and 10 flows very nicely without any indication of a break. Keep in mind that one of the first principles of Bible study is always, always, always disregard verses, disregard chapters. Good Bible study principle. Always disregard chapter and verse divisions. I think we could safely say that chapter and verse divisions are more likely poor than they are good. They are meant simply to break up the text so you can study easily, but as far as any studied, any rules of how do we divide chapters, how do we divide verses, is simply not there. I think we've said many, many times the verse divisions were made by a man who was a circuit rider, and his principle for the dividing of verses was every time the horse stumbled a little bit, he chopped off a verse. but there is no real reason for it. And it is very important always to disregard and forget them. You're much better to go with your paragraph divisions, which is indicated like down at verse 7 with the little paragraph sign. Those are much, much better than your chapter and verse divisions. Always forget, disregard those breaks. So the link to chapter 9 is seen by when you read through 9 into 10, is there anything apparent? And there certainly is not in these verses. A second point that establishes the connection is in chapter 10, you have a mention of the blind man. And that is in chapter 10 and verse 21. As we moved into the narrative about Christ being the door, about Christ being the good shepherd, you come down to verse 21, and as a comment upon what he has said, we will have others were saying, these are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he? So, 10:21 shows that the teaching of the chapter is within the context of the healing of a blind man. That fits with chapter 9 very, very, very well. Third, what happened in 9 is explained by 10. Chapter 10 is an explanation. Of chapter 9. We had a man who was an Israelite. Jesus came and healed the man, and as a result of that, the man developed allegiance to Jesus, and as a result of his allegiance, he was thrown out of Judaism. Now that needs an explanation, and the explanation follows in chapter 10. And basically what happens in chapter 9 are the following things, and this is the chief thing. The man in chapter 9 is attracted to Jesus very strongly. And we went through the five aspects of his attraction to the Lord in chapter 9. First, if you go, and this is all a slowly developed thing. In chapter 9, he's asked how his eyes were opened. And he answers in 9:11 by saying, the man who is called Jesus. So he begins with his attraction to the Lord as a man, 9:11. Further developments go down through verse 17. In verse 17, he is asked, what do you say about him that opened your eyes? And he said, he is a prophet. And that is a considerable advance over simply being a man, 9:17. Then you move on down to verse 27. And in verse 27, he indicates that he has become his disciple. He is speaking to the Pharisees, and he answers them, I told you already, that's in answer to their inquiry of who healed him, I told you already, you did not listen, do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples also, or too, do you? And so you come to this portion, and he is indicating that he has joined as one of his disciples, or he is deserving of allegiance. Do you want to join me as his disciple, 9:27. Then you have verse 33, which goes a step further yet. He says, if this man were not from God, and that's the fourth step of his developing faith, 33. And then finally in 38, he said, Lord, I believe. So you have a man, and this is unique really to the Gospels, because I do not know where else you can go where Jesus performed a miracle for or upon a person, where you have as much detail about a developing faith as you have in this particular chapter. And therefore you come to the point that by the end of 9, Jesus is the object of faith. And as a result of being the object of faith, you come down to the words of verse 34, they, the Jewish leaders, answered, said to him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us?" And they put him out. And therefore, we should attach to this last note, as a result of that faith in Jesus, he was put out. Now, chapter 10 comes along and says, let us give you an explanation of what has happened. This man was put out of the circle of the Jewish faith. He was put out, so to speak, of Judaism. He was cast from the temple. Can we illustrate and make this clear? And that is a theme and the result of his faith in chapter 9 and is explained in chapter 10. So that basically what we'll have is this. The blind man was a sheep. Jesus was the true shepherd. The Pharisees were the false shepherd. And chapter 10 is going to indicate that. Our first point then is important. Chapter 9 is closely linked to 10 because there's no apparent break, because there's the mention of the blind man, and because chapter 9 explains, or chapter 10 explains chapter 9, and fourth. It's the opening words of 10 indicate a connection. And as you can note, the words that open chapter 10 are truly, truly. The opening words are truly, truly, and truly, truly never opens a discourse. Those words never open a discourse. Jesus never begins any discourse, any message, with the words truly, truly. That is never, never the case. They are rather used, never open a discourse. They are always used as a follow-up of previous teaching. They are always used to introduce a follow-up. And you can take in concordance and go through all of the truly, trulies of Jesus, and you will find that they are not openers. They do not introduce new material. They do not begin a teaching. They follow up on something that has been said, and they follow up by indicating meaning. All right, with that then, we're ready to approach chapter 9. And our first point has been to indicate the close link to chapter 9. And now, 2. Chapter 10 begins by saying, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep. What is the fold that he's talking about? What is the fold? And we will look at that under two headings. Number one, its physical description. Second, its figurative meaning. First, physical description. And we're simply looking at the word fold in verse 1, the Greek word ole. and indicating physically what was an ole, what is a fold. And we need to define that because when we talk about a sheep fold, our minds can go in all types of directions. And I don't know what direction your mind takes, but picture mentally a sheep fold. What do you see? Well, let's describe what we should see. First of all, the word for fold is a normal, everyday word for courtyard. The fact that it is a normal word for a courtyard is why John has to include that it's a fold for the sheep. Because if he had simply used the word ole, it would be a courtyard like attached to your house or something of this sort. This is a courtyard, and here it has the additional meaning, this one is for sheep, not people. But it could be used for your, well, I think it's probably very much parallel to a patio, to us. He's talking about a patio, but this one is for sheep. Second, the courtyard was enclosed on all four sides. With a 10 to 12 foot wall and one opening only. And the idea that we ought to have set in our mind is the fact that there is no possible way for the sheep to get in or out except through the gate. And there's only one single gate in the courtyard or in the fold. If you look at a sheep, sheep in Palestine were the fat tail variety, which means their tail is great big and wide. And if you look at a sheep, even our sheep, can you picture in your mind a sheep scaling a 12-foot wall? There's no way. The sheep can't climb over the wall. It is impossible. And that will become important because Christ is going to say later on when we get down to chapter 10, verse 9 and following, that he is the door, and that is a way of saying there is no way into the sheepfold apart from through me. One of the things that we'll need to note is that in chapter 10, 1 through 6, you have the sheepfold introduced, and it is used to illustrate one thing in 10, 1 through 6, and in 10, 9 through 18, it's used to illustrate something different. In 10, 1 through 6, the sheepfold is Israel. In 10, 9 through 18, the sheepfold is salvation. In 10, 1 through 6, the emphasis is on getting sheep out or leading sheep out of the sheepfold. And in 10, 9 through 18, the emphasis is on getting the sheep in. And thus, what you have then is one illustration. And from the one illustration, which is that of the sheepfold, you have two uses of it. In the one illustration, the first one in 10, 1 through 6, is different than 10, 9 through 18. In 10, 1 through 6, the one illustration of the sheepfold points to Israel. And the emphasis is on going out. In 10, 9 through 18, the emphasis is on being saved. The emphasis is on salvation. And the stress, therefore, will be going in. Therefore, what the door meant in 10:1 through 6 is not what the door means in 10:9 through 18. They will be two separate and distinct things, as we will see coming down. And there's not at all unusual for one illustration to have several different applications, which is going to be true in this particular case. What is the fold? 10:1. It's a courtyard. It's enclosed on all four sides with a very high wall and one opening. Next, its primary purpose was to secure sheep at night. Fourth, the door was not a door as we picture a door. It was simply an open entryway, and across the entryway the shepherd would lie. So the shepherd was the door. If you got to the sheep, it was over the body of the shepherd. If the sheep wandered, it was over the body of the shepherd. He was literally, in the fullest sense of the word, the door. What is the fold? Physical description. And now, number two, its figurative meaning. What does the door represent? The figurative meaning of the door. And to understand that is very important, because attempts are often made to present John 10 as a passage on salvation. That's fine if you start with verse 9. That is not fine, and it does not fit if you start with verse 1. And so the first thing to say in a negative way, what does the sheepfold represent? And let's qualify that in 10:1 through 6. It is not heaven. It is not heaven. It is not salvation. And there are two obvious reasons why that is the case. The first is in verse 1. Which indicates that this fold can be entered by ways other than the door. 10:1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door. And notice the denotation is that they do enter, but they didn't enter the right way. They did not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. And the first reason, obviously, therefore, why it is not heaven is this. This fold can be entered by ways other than the door. This fold can be entered by ways other than the door. You can scale the walls. And I take it we don't need to stop and make a lot of explanation, as you cannot get into heaven by scaling the walls. There will be no one in heaven who said, I didn't come in the way, I didn't come in the door, I didn't come in the correct way, I came over the walls and that's why I'm here. And therefore heaven just doesn't fit. Second reason why it is not heaven is found in verse 3. In verse 3 it says, to him, that is the true shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, that's the ones that are in the fold, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And that's the second reason, is that sheep in these verses are led out of the fold, not into the fold. The sheep are led out. here, not in. And therefore, with those two very clear statements that the Lord is pulling sheep out of the fold, not bringing sheep into the fold, now that's in 10:1 through 6. When we get down to verse 9, notice verse 9 says, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The emphasis is going in to the sheepfold, but in 1 through 6, the emphasis is bringing sheep out of the sheepfold. Therefore, in 10:1 through 6, the fold is not heaven. Second, in 10:1 through 6, it is not, for the same reason, the church. Third, the fold does not represent salvation. Not in 10:1 through 6. It will later. Very clearly when you get to verse 9. But the sheepfold or being in it in 10:1 through 6 has nothing to do with being saved or not saved. As a matter of fact, those who are saved in 10:1 through 6 will be the ones that exit out of this sheepfold and follow the Lord. Fourth positive definition, the fold is Israel. The fold then is Israel. Within the nation, there was a mixture, and it was a mixture of sheep, those who were true believers, and non-sheep. You have an example of sheep, for example, when the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist was made to Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were looking for and they were anticipating the coming of the Messiah. They were sheep. And we will find in chapter 9 that as the Lord is dealing with the Pharisees, with the nation, with the religious leaders, he teaches the truth, and this man that comes to say, this man is a prophet, this man is worthy of discipleship, this man is from God, this man is the Lord, you have an example of within the nation, he was a Jew, within the nation, within the sheepfold, there was a true sheep, and it was this man. So the fold is Israel, which had a mixture, and we will note that the true sheep within the nation will hear the Lord's voice and will come out. True sheep will hear and they will identify him and they will believe. The fact that within the context of John 10 is that the only identity or the sole identity of the sheep with the shepherd is his voice, what he says. Read some interesting literature about historical accounts of attempts to fool sheep. In one case, they took the clothing of the shepherd, of the true shepherd, and indicated that not only was it his clothing, but it was perspiration soaked, so that the shepherd that put it on looked like the true shepherd and smelled like the true shepherd. As soon as he tried to imitate the shepherd's voice, the sheep fled. They would have nothing to do with the smell and the appearance. That was no identifying point. The only single identifying point was the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd, in turn, knew his sheep. A very amazing little narrative where in several instances a shepherd, true shepherd, was blindfolded and put in with a group of mixed sheep. And he picked out his sheep, not by voice, but by feeling the face of the sheep. He knew his own sheep so well that he could run his hand over their face and say, that's mine. And there'll be great emphasis on the sheep knowing the shepherd and on the shepherd knowing the sheep. And the key point at this point will be how they respond to his voice. The Pharisees don't even hear his voice. They respond in no way. In chapter 9, this one man hears the Lord and says, and the Lord says to him, well, coming down to the last of 9, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the man very simply responds back by saying, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And Jesus said to him, you have seen him. He is the one talking to you. And he says, Lord, I believe. And it is a perfect example of a sheep knowing perfectly well the voice of the shepherd. Now, to make the picture complete, if you have within the fold of Israel those who are sheep and those who are non-sheep, and if the identifying factor is the voice or the words of the shepherds, we ought to ask and answer one other question. What about those that responded to the Lord who were not in the fold? They were not of Israel. And that is our third point under the fold is Israel. And that is this. There were other sheep. That were not in the fold. And if you come down to chapter 10, verse 16, you have that. He says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Two identifying words. Number one, I have other sheep who are not of this fold. Other sheep would be Gentiles, those not in the fold of Israel. This fold is Israel. And it's interesting to note in verse 16 that when he says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold, I must bring them also. They shall hear my voice, and they shall become one flock, one shepherd. So we take these two groups, other sheep and this fold, and note that they are going to become one flock, and they are to become fall under one shepherd. Go to the book of Ephesians to close this session. We're looking at chapter 2. Paul is developing the idea of the one body of Christ, the church, which has one head. And you come down to verse 11, which says, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, notice the theme is Jew and Gentile, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at one time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, parenthesis, the fold of John 10, 1 through 6. And strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups, other sheep and this fold, wrapped up here in the words of verse 14, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. So that when you go back to chapter 10 of the Gospel of John, you have an explanation of what will occur, or what is about to occur, what is going to occur in the future, and that is the fold of Israel, the true sheep, are going to be pulled out, and they will be united then into the one flock, one shepherd idea. And that is from John 10 on what we're beginning to see and what will be developed with the death and past the death, resurrection, the day of Pentecost, when both Jew and Gentile are preached the same message and in which they become one single body. Now, our next point when we come back, leaving the figurative meaning, we'll note that in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, there are two ways of entering the fold, or two ways of entering the fold of Israel. We'll pick up on those two ways in our next study. Father, we're thankful for your word and your truth. In Christ's name, amen.